Ah, I greet you from the lovely, slightly cloudy nation of Sri Lanka. I don't know why I tell you what the weather's like, because by the time we actually post these, it takes a little while for the audios for us to go through this chain and this process, because, like scriptures say, one man plants, another man waters, but God causes it to grow. Well, one man records and cuts, another man uploads and downloads and sends it and does all the stuff in the back end to make sure that you can get it. And God causes an audio to come to you that helps you out with where you are in life. Thank God for a team. Thank God for brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, people that walk with Him, led by His Spirit, know His voice, know His call, know the seasons and the times. I tell you what, I am so grateful for the brothers that I have that do this project and this initiative with me. Not just because of the work that they do, with Faith Mix, but because of the kind of people that they are. They walk with Christ, they know His voice, they live lives in connection with His Spirit and are a blessing everywhere that they go. I tell you what, they are incredible, incredible people. And if you have a chance to ever meet one of them, your life will be blessed because they walk with His Spirit. So, alright, so life, time here. Our time and our experience in this world, short as it may be. Because, alright, we always try to keep that in front of you. Your own mortality is an important thing to recognize. Because there were those that were here before that are no longer here. You are here now, but in the not too distant future, let's jump forward 120 years from now, all of us are, as far as the physical body goes, in the ground decomposing. Because the body that you have, no flesh will inherit the kingdom of God. So the body that you and I have, it does not carry on from here. So that being the case, how now should we live? What now should be our priorities? How should we adjust ourselves given the reality of that absolute truth? It's funny because, like, sometimes people, they try to deny the things that are true. They try to deny that which is... They deny who Jesus is. They deny things about what this life truly is. All of that. Okay, that's people's choices. They do that to their own hurt. But the reality still is there that you and I, at some point in the future, will not be here. And because you and I won't be here, then what are the things that you should try to figure out or understand while you are here? Isn't that worthwhile? Isn't that a worthwhile pursuit? Rather than getting the latest smartphone or, spending 50 hours on Facebook or Tumblr or whatever the newest thing is, shouldn't you major in the majors or figure certain things out? And if you don't know them, then I think that's one of the things that's very hard for people, because they don't know. And because of the fact that they don't know and they don't really know where to go to get answers to these questions, they then just sort of shut down. A lot of people would rather not have to deal with certain things. So that's why people, it's so easy for them to just flip on the TV and watch. Or, nowadays, switching over to YouTube or to just surfing the net or whatever they can do to just comatose their mind. Because to deal with the reality, and there's other things too. People do drugs, people do alcohol, people do sex, people do whatever it is that they can do to just get their mind to not also have to deal with certain realities, certain things that are there. People don't like funerals, and because it gives them a quick jolt of the fact that that too will be them at some point. That too will be them. they too will pass from this life. And it's scary because they're not ready. You know, most people are not ready to die. Most people are not ready to die. The thought of passing from this life into the next is not something that most people are comfortable with. It's scary for a lot of people. Because for a lot of people, that thought, there's a lot of uncertainty around it. There's a lot of questions around it. Because you know that empty religion hasn't done it for you. You know that even though you've tried to be a good and moral person, you've sort of just hoped that things would work out. Because you've sort of done good. You've done more good stuff than you've done bad stuff, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are scared. Scared, you know, scared of what it is to pass from this life into the next. Because they don't know. Whereas when you have been touched by the hand of God, when God has put His hand upon your life and has, by His grace, met you, by His grace, pulled you unto Himself, by His grace, called you by name, by His power that works on your behalf, set you apart unto Himself, and when you've experienced His love, when you've experienced His hand upon your life and Him calling you, calling your name, showing you that new reality. You know, perfect love drives out all fear because fear carries with it torment. But when you've been touched by the love of God, there is no more fear. There is no more torment. There's no more scare when it comes to what death is. And that's why the people of God are also those that truly live. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay? Well, part of an abundant life is to not be afraid of death. You know, there's a lot of people that spend half their lives just waiting for life to begin and then spend the next half of their lives just worried and freaked out about death. They never live. Whereas when you have been touched by the hand of God, when God has called you and you've responded to His call, every day is a feast. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, every day is a day that you can be rejoicing in Him. And whether you are 19 or 90, you can walk in the power of God and life can be real to you this day. Ah, you know, it's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing to know Him. It's a blessed thing to walk with His Spirit. It's a blessed thing to have His mark upon your life. You know, rather than being scared, you know, if you would come to God in honesty, you know, I think one thing that people have a hard time doing is just honestly coming before the Father. Coming before Him, bowing the knee before Him, saying, Lord, here's where I am. This is who I am. This is what I struggle with. This is me. Lord, would You please meet me where I'm at? Because I can't do this. I can't walk without You. I can't live without You. I can't make decisions and choices without You. I have no direction unless You direct me. I have no guidance unless You guide me. The things that the world would say, I know that those are empty. I know that the world has nothing for me. Lord God, would you please meet me? Would You please direct me? Would You please lead and guide my life? Pray like that. Pray honestly before Him. Seek His face. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, there are some interesting things out there these days. Interesting I guess spiritual insights coming from different places. And you've got to be on your guard because, you know, recently on our Facebook page we put up a scripture about, you know, that there's to test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out. And, you know, and they, anyone that denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is of that Antichrist spirit. And the thing is about denying Jesus Christ, when somebody denies Him, it's not just denying that, okay, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 1, read on. But it's not just denying that, but people deny Christ also by denying His finished work. So when they deny Him, what they do is they say, you know, Jesus didn't really finish it. You know, you still need something. You still need something else to be right with the Father. It's not quite done yet. You know, that's why when the Father ripped the veil in two, when the veil of the temple was rent in two by the very hand of God, when Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And that veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Now, that veil, I one time had the pleasure of spending some time with a guy who collected Persian rugs. And each rug was $20,000 that he had in his house. They were incredible. They were exquisite, exquisite. And he had about $250,000 worth of these rugs in his house. I mean, they were incredible rugs. And each one was about 1.5, 2 inches thick, probably 2 inches thick, each one. And they were hand knotted. Tiny, tiny, tiny knots that made up these 2 inches. And he was showing me this thing. He said, "All right, just..." He picked up a corner of the rug. He said, "Pull at this. Try to tear at this." And I mean, it. You could never... No human being could... I mean, you try to tear it. It was so... Such a quality piece just product that somebody had made. And he said, "Do you know that the veil of the temple was 4 inches thick and it was made in a similar fashion?" And so that veil that separated the Holy of Holies was something that no hand could... It wasn't like a little tiny curtain, okay? It wasn't like a blow it out of the way. No, it was thick. And the hand of God ripped it from top to bottom and exposed the Holy of Holies to the outer court, to anybody that would enter in, because the blood of Jesus made the way for us to boldly approach the throne of God. The blood of Jesus made the way for you and I to boldly approach the throne of God. As a son and a daughter, bought and paid for, completely redeemed, made spotless, as if it never happened. You know, the true you, your spirit, your soul, that has been redeemed, made clean, white as snow, as if it never happened. So whatever the worst possible thing you could think of that you have ever done, God has set you free from that. God has redeemed you from that. None of it will be carried with you when you leave. It's done. And if you understand that, you can start living on that reality now. You don't have to carry around all the burdens of the past, or the sins of the past. Those don't have to be on your shoulders. And you don't have to fret about your future. You can live today. You know, too often people fail to live. They fail to choose life. They choose something else. You know, I know that there's a lot of you that are struggling with certain situations that you're in right now. You're struggling with trying to make choices in line with God's purpose and plan. You're struggling to try to choose something that would please Him. But you know, look, take the pressure off, all right? First, seek His face. And when you struggle with something, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Because when you pray, you connect. When you pray, you get clarity. When you pray, God works on your behalf. He works behind the scenes. And along with praying, praise. Praise God. Praise. You know, it says in scriptures that God inhabits the praises of His people. You know, in my earlier days, because I saw that scripture that said, you know, that God inhabits the praises of His people, and I would see that, like, you know, okay, that God would be dwelling in that type of environment. Even when I used to leave my old place, I used to live in a different country. When I would leave my old place, I would put music on, worship music on, something that I would praise God to. I would put it on and leave it going on in the place just to keep that environment going. You know, just because I knew if there was any type of demonic force that was lingering around, they would hate to stay there. Yeah, I know. Oh, come on. Yeah, you think that's strange. Well, think about the kind of stuff that people do all the time around temples and around, you know, burning incense and lighting candles and doing this and doing that and trying to bring certain types of spiritual powers to those places. And they do. They do. But, you know, look, just know that when you are connected to the Spirit of the living God and He's inhabiting your praise, that there is a blessing that flows. There's a residue of His Spirit that stays upon your life everywhere that you would go. In all that would happen, in all that would take place, the Spirit of the living God would be upon your life. You know, that blessing of His presence is what the world needs. The world needs His presence now more than ever. You know, the consciousness of the world, the mind of the world, in Proverbs it says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yeah. Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16 says it both places, same thing. So we know that that's there, right? The things that seem right to people lead to death. Now, on a large scale, the world, there's a lot of things that seem right to people, but the end of it are the ways of death. And they're killing the planet. They're killing each other. They're killing animals that are dependent on man's positive dominion of this hemisphere, of this, you know, of both hemispheres actually, top and bottom, of this environment. And they're depending on man to not abuse his privilege. And man's doing it because a lot of them, there's a way that seems right to them, but the end of thereof are the ways of death. The gift of God is eternal life. But in those things that people are doing, you know, there's a need for those who walk with Christ to be present, for your presence to be there, to make that impact. Because, for example, people thinking, they're going to genetically modify these foods. But the end thereof are what? The ways of death. They modify the foods. Foods lose their nutritional content. Sure, they can sit on a shelf for years now and be stored for really long periods of time. But at the end, when people eat them, they cause cancers. They cause all kinds of freakish effects inside of people. And there's not food anymore. That those subtle changes make a huge change when it comes down to actually what food is. What is food? What is nutrition? You know, the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, I found out something recently about cosmetic surgery. All right. Here's something interesting for you guys. Check this out. So, you know all these people run around getting liposuction, right? Huge thing. Huge, huge thing in the world these days. People go running around and get these procedures done. And in the process of getting these procedures done, they don't really know the consequences of doing them. So, did you know that when you get, like, say, for example, the fat sucked out of your stomach. So if you get liposuction on your stomach, right? And they pull the fat out of your stomach. Okay, when your body says it's going to start storing fat again, it doesn't have the fat cells on your stomach to put it there again. So what does it do? Well, it starts storing it somewhere else. So when somebody starts storing fat, after they've had liposuction, it starts going to the other places where they haven't sucked the fat out. So before it put the fat on your stomach, now it puts the fat on your back or on your arms or on those thighs or somewhere else. And then as people start chasing the fat around their own body, getting things sucked out from one place to the next, eventually it's like being stored on the back of your neck and on your face. You look like a chipmunk. Keeps going. And pretty soon, once that thing is has just continued on, I don't even want to tell you where it starts getting stored. But it doesn't stop. And you know, you need certain things that are in your body. But people start messing around with what God's put inside of them. And at the end thereof, it's just a non-stop roller coaster once you start opening up that door. I saw a newspaper article, or actually it's online, where in South Korea, they'd gotten mad, blamed cosmetic surgery because all of the Miss Universe contestants looked the same. They all had the same face. All the finalists, they all had the same face. Nothing distinguishing them. Nothing making them look different from one another. Universal standards of what people think is pretty and beautiful. But in the end, it's not who people really are. And you know, did you know that your face has, that there is a certain symmetry between how God made you? Not only do you have a fingerprint that nobody else, no one out of 7 billion people in the world, no one else has that same fingerprint as you. Likewise, did you know that that from the length of your nose, if you take that length, that's also if you turn it sideways, that's the length of your eye. That's also the length of your ear. That's also, you know, the length of your mouth. Did you know that all those things God's put symmetry in the way that you were designed? And in making you, that uniqueness that's there is part of what makes you an incredible being. And when people go and change that, so for example, say people say, oh, I don't like my nose, and they go change that. Well, now, all of a sudden, that nose, symmetry-wise, is not the right length for the eyes, the ears, and the mouth that you have. And so you may have some designer nose, but it doesn't match. Doesn't match the rest of your face. And that's why when you see people that have had plastic surgery, you look at them and something inside of you just like, you know, something's not quite right. I can't put my finger on it, but something just doesn't look quite right about that person. And you know why? Because you are right. Something isn't quite right. Something's been changed. Something's been altered. Something's been mixed, matched, changed, modified. And that person is not quite. They were fearfully and wonderfully made. And now that person has changed. So it's something to keep in mind. And most times people don't realize it until they've started down those paths. And then once they start, they just don't stop. I know you got, there's some guys listening in from California. You know what I'm talking about. Once people start, they just don't stop. They keep going and going and going. And it becomes an obsession. It becomes an addiction. It becomes something where people are never, ever quite satisfied. And something just needs to change. They keep thinking, all right, something needs to change. If I just change this one more piece about myself, I'll be okay. I'll be happy. I'll be all right. And that's not true. The change that needs to take place inside of a person is not an external change. It's a change of the heart. It's a change within. God wants you to have a change within. If that change takes place inside of you, then the external really becomes far less important. Sure, you might exercise or do something like that just because it's good for your health, good for maintenance of your being. Sure, you know, go use your nice face creams and do all that stuff. Doesn't matter. But just know that none of that stuff is going to make you happy. True joy is something that comes from within. It's a change that needs to take place inside the core of who you are. That is the call. And that is also what God offers. See, we make known the fact that there is a different way. We make known the fact that people can have something different than what they know. We make known the fact that people don't have to be bound. You don't have to look perfect to have joy. You don't have to look perfect to have peace. You don't have to have everything figured out to be able to take a step. You know, there's a lot of people waiting to have everything figured out before they're willing to take the first step with God. And you know what? You're never going to have it all figured out. Never. What you need to do is you need to trust Him. You need to trust that He's in control. You need to trust that He's going to take care of you. And that if you just take a step, that He will lead and guide you. If you just take a step, that He's going to come through. You know, the children of Israel had to trust God. That if He would lead them out into the desert, that He would take care of them. And there was a bunch of them that didn't trust Him. They didn't. First sign of trouble. And they turned and started, you know, railing at Moses. First sign of trouble. And the thing is that, you know, God will test our hearts. God will test you to see, do you trust Him? Or are you too scared? Do you look at this life? Do you look at your flesh? Do you look at the things around you? Do you look at the world and all that the world says? Is your faith determined by the evening news? Hello. Is your faith determined by the evening news? Is the extent to which you trust the Father determined by hearsay and rumors and media and speculation? Or is it determined by the one that made you? The one whom you are in a relationship with? Is your faith determined by Him? He is the author and the finisher of your faith. That means you have to allow Him to be writing in you. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. That means that you got to let Him write the book of your life. Because if He's the one that's, if He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of your faith, but if you're trying to stay away from Him, how is that which He intends for you going to be manifest? If you try to write the story of your own life, well, you'll get as much as you push for, but never what it was that you were intended for. And the world pushes. The world pushes for its own agenda. But God has a way of just things unfolding when you walk with Him. Okay, there. I'm back. Slight break there. Due to mechanical difficulties. Let's just say it's great to have zip ties in your truck. They come in really handy. God bless you. All right. So the change that's necessary, that needs to take place, is the change within. The change within is what's necessary, not the change without. Because, you know, by and large, you look at even the major religions of the world, and they acknowledge that there's something wrong with humanity. There's something wrong with the consciousness that people are born with. There's something wrong with the way that people relate to life. And they know it. Because they know it, but then how they try to address it. And the thing is, too, is your self-will, not going to do it. Your best intentions, not going to cut it. Your lifelong efforts towards a particular end, just not going to go anywhere. You need Jesus. You need a Savior. You need somebody to do for you what you could not do. And you also need the humility to acknowledge your error and your inability, and the humility to receive the gift of eternal life that comes from Him. That's why we surrender. We surrender unto Him. We surrender to His life, to His will, to His plan, to His purpose, so that the change within can take place. Because without that change within, you will never be satisfied. You know, I'll tell you something. I've, by God's grace, had the chance to meet many of the world's most attractive people. And something that I've learned firsthand is they also have, they're the most, by and large, insecure and have the lowest self-esteem of any group of people that I know. The ones that are the most attractive. The ones that are on the covers of the magazines, on the covers of all these different things, they're by and large the most unsure of themselves. But you have to actually get to a place where you can actually talk to them. Not when they're, you know, in the middle of their performance or in the middle of trying to actually, you know, playing that role that they're supposed to play. But when you actually get them one-on-one, you find out that most people that focus on the external, that in and of itself, there's an emptiness that's there. Whereas when God touches your heart and the change comes within, proper perspective is brought to what life is and to your time here. Your time here can be a blessing, and you can be a blessing to many, and there can be joy, there can be peace, there can be hope in all that you do. You can look forward to the days ahead. And right now can be a blessing. It should be. You know, one of the challenges that people often face is the fact that this external reality is very, very strong, very pervasive, very much coming at you all the time. And because it's coming at you all the time, unless you deliberately take a step back and draw that boundary from it affecting your consciousness, it will just continue to bombard you. You need to, for yourself, allow for the Spirit of God. This is why God said, look, go into your closet and pray. Close the door. Yeah, get away. Get away from that mindset that the world pushes on you. Get away from that just non-stop bombardment. Close the door. Pray to your Father who sees what you do in secret, and He will reward you openly. One way that He'll reward you, you'll have peace. When you pray and when you put everything before Him, when you go on your knees before the living God and you pray before Him, when you get up off your knees, He blesses you with peace. And He undertakes for all the things that you brought before Him in prayer. So rather than carrying it, pray. Rather than holding on to it, pray. Release unto God. Allow for Him to take over. For Him to do that work in you. Pray, seek His face. Bless. Bless. Bless those that hurt you. Pray for those that spitefully use you. I know that's hard. Pray for them. And bless them with the message of truth. Pray that God would turn their hearts, because the time is short and there's a lot of people that are going to not make it. But you've heard the message, you've heard the truth. You know what it is. And that truth that's been made known unto you, you need to share it. You need to use that which God has put in you to bless others. He's given you something. He's put something in your heart. Allow for that which He's put in your heart to be made known. Speak. Speak what God puts inside of you. You know, oftentimes you'll meet people and they just need a word. They just need to know what God's put in your heart. Speak. Tell them. That word will be a blessing to them. Anything led by the Spirit of God, there's a blessing in it. Even if it's a hard word, it will bless those that it's intended for. Because God, He is the giver of life. And even in the difficult things, there's life in them. So, you know, encouraging you guys, always realize that the change, the victory is within. That change that needs to take place is within. And when that is taking place within, the external circumstance, it can fall in your favor or not. Doesn't matter. You've already won. And you know what the funny thing is, though, too, is that when the victory's been won within, many, many times, the external circumstance actually starts changing for your better. But that's no longer the focus. The focus for you will become a clean connection with the living God, and to walk with Him, to hear His voice, to know Him, and to be in step with His plan and purpose for you. Trust. Trust the God that loves you. Walk with Him. Allow for that to be one with you. You should be consummated with the Spirit of God. There should be no separation. And in that fulfillment, there is peace. So with that, hey, God bless you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word. You will find us. So, hey, we love you guys. Keep on keeping on. And drop us a mail. Do say hi, please. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hey.